Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, back in the house once again. You are now rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in and taking the time to listen to what we have to say. Man, it's a loaded show as we look to bring each and every week. We got Ben Troop, former Titans tight end, as well as Florida Gator tight end. He was a teammate of Rand Carthon, the new Titans general manager. So we're going to get some good insight in regards to some of the things that he would have to say about his former teammate. We got Chris Sanders coming on, Run TMC, talking shop. We'll look at Rand Carthon. I'm going to ask him about the offensive coordinator situation as well, you know, what they need to do there. And, of course, we got David James over there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, making this thing happen. And you know what? Let's start. I mean, obviously, it's a big thing, right? Diana Rossini and Jeff Darlington broke the news that Rand Carthon is the next general manager, and we'll be speaking to him on Friday, so looking forward to that. The Titans, they did it, right? They reached out to 6 external candidates. 5 of them were minorities, and they hired a minority. It's the first minority GM in the team's history, the 8th minority GM in the NFL. What more can you say? It's a great day for this organization, and it's not just because Rand Carthon is a minority. It's not just because of that. You look at some of the people that have spoke about him, right? Jeff Fisher, he was right here on our airwaves, and you know, he ranted about Rand's communication skills and how he's able to, you know, evaluate players. And then not only do that, but paint that picture in your mind. And I love that part of it. He said he could compare a player to someone on your current roster and to someone everybody is familiar with who's played in the league. He's a little, and this is his way of doing it. He's a little smaller version of this guy, but a little quicker. He can paint that picture for you before you look at a player on tape. From my standpoint, that's real important for a head coach. At the point you become involved, that's real important, because what happens, right? Mike Vrabel is not going to have the time to watch a running back from Central Connecticut. You know what I mean? But as the GM and your scouting team, you can leave no stone unturned. So what happens? Okay, well, you know what? This guy, if you think of Dontrell Hilliard coming out of the backfield, you know how you like to use him on those routes, matching him up against the linebacker? Well, this guy, Johnny Robinson from Central Connecticut, has a similar ability, except for he might be a little bit better in his route running. His footwork is this or that. That's the way you paint a picture. So now, okay, these are the things I could picture this guy. Okay, I could relate to Dontrell Hilliard because he's been on my roster for two years. I could relate. I could picture him. All right, let's see. You know what I mean? That's the way that you work harder and smarter at the same time, right? More efficient. And I think that's something that's really a feather in Rand Carthon's cap. I was scrolling through his Twitter. I saw where he compared Nick Chubb to Curtis Martin. He was like, Chubb has just, and he said, sorry, Uncle Curtis, but Chubb has just another gear. And I thought that was a really good comparison, because both of these guys are tough runners, right? And Chubb is a much more explosive guy. But, you know, I quote from Jeff Fisher, he just paints a great picture of a player and his ability. And he said, I could hear him right now going through an evaluation. I thought that was really cool the way he ran through that, and just the energy and excitement that was in his voice as he talked about Rand Carthon. I think that's something that's remarkable. I posted on Twitter, you know, 15 seasons as an NFL scout/personnel person. I think that's something that's really good. Former player, he played for the Colts for 3 years. So that's something that helps also, because that allows you to kind of put yourself in the player's shoes, right? It allows you to relate to that player a little bit better. So that's going to be another thing that I think is going to help him. But I want to go back to his history again. 2008, he started as a scout, and then he was with the Rams as a director of player personnel. He got a similar job with the 49ers and then was elevated to director of player personnel as well. I think when you look at his background, and for some reason, I keep seeing where people say, hey, he doesn't have enough draft background. I beg to differ because in his roles, well, he cut his teeth as a scout. I know from back in my days, you know, working with Emory Hunt on Football Game Plan, I mean, we were at all kinds of pro days, you know, from Temple to Maryland to, like, we Villanova. Like, we went to a lot of pro days together. And then we also did the All-Star Game circuit, you know, the Shrine Week, Senior Bowl, all of that good stuff. And in going to that, you continue to see the same faces over and over again. Ironically, that's how I got cool with one of the Titans personnel people here, because I would always see him at different events. You know, that's how I got cool with some of the Eagles personnel. And even 49ers guys as well. You know, and when you see that familiar face, there's conversations that are had in those bleachers or on those sidelines when you're watching. There's information shared. Hey, you know what? This kid from, you know what? And those are the type of things that you gain from having been on that road throughout the nation, recruiting and scouting players. That's a huge plus for him. And that's where you really acquire that ability to be able to compare a player to another one. You know, I remember Will Fuller, for example, when he was coming out. I remember sitting with Emory and we were talking, and I was like, you know, he reminds me of Terry Glenn. You know, rest in peace, Terry Glenn. You know, and I was talking about the vertical speed that he had, the ability to, you know, catch a slant and take it to the house, those type of things. And to that's what happens. Like, you have those conversations over and over again. Those are really valuable. And you learn how to, like I said, cliff notes on a prospect. So that's huge. But then you look at the other role that he served, right, as the player personnel guy, a pro personnel, right? In those roles that he had, hey, man, you have to know every team's roster. And I'm not just talking about, you know, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Josh Palmer on the Chargers. You got to know DeAndre Carter. You got to know all the way down that depth chart, because what happens, right? You have player X on your team goes down. You need to be ready with a list of guys. Okay, these are the five guys that we could pull from that could come in and help us out while player X recovers. But then on top of that, you also have to know your own roster, okay, and be able to project. So when you look at it, and I thought it was really cool how Jeff Fisher, he spoke about this when he talked, and I thought it was cool when he said that, you know, you have to have the ability to look at, obviously, the first rounds, those are important, you're drafting starters, but you have to have the ability to look at your roster, right, and think, okay, yeah, this guy is a six-round prospect. I think we should draft him because he, right now, he has nickel ability, so he could help us as a nickel. But down the line, if player X is going to, he's going to be a free agent, if we're not able to retain him, this prospect could come in and develop into a starter to replace him in 2 years, and now we're not losing a lot of production. It's not a lot of drop-off. I thought that was significant. And that's conversation that I just simulated. That's when it happens between the GM and the head coach. So that being said, the word that you continue to hear is collaboration. So naturally, you know, Mike Vrabel, when he spoke during locker room cleanout day, that was something that was asked to him. Here's his answer in regards to collaboration.
I think that that's the whole idea. You know, I'm comfortable in that. Throughout this process of communication and finding the right person, you know, collaboration obviously is critical. I feel like we've, you know, put some time in here over the course of 5 years. It hasn't been perfect, but I certainly have an idea of the type of people. And I think you start with the person. You start with the person, and then you make sure that the talent and the skill set fits. But I think it's about people and who they are, the type of leaders they are, the type of teammates they are. I think you start there because you just, you you learned anything, you learned that this is a tough gig. It's a long gig. And the front runners may be good when things are going well, but when you have some hiccups and you have some, you know, adversity, you really need some dudes that you know, are going to stick there and kind of do it each and every day.
Would you like that collaboration to remain as it was with the previous GM, or are you looking for that to increase as far as your involvement?
We try to bring in the best people and the best players that we possibly can.
So there you have it right there, Mike Vrabel speaking on the collaboration. And I think, you know, this is going to be a good match, you know, for a variety of reasons. But it just seems like he meaning Rand Carthon, had a front row seat at that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan collaboration, that coming together, that teamwork. And ironically, Kyle Shanahan and his contract, he has the final say. Now, I don't know for sure that's going to happen here in Tennessee, but Shanahan had the final say. But you never saw any public displays of, hey, this thing's unraveling, because player A is a guy that John Lynch wants, but Kyle Shanahan, there's a marriage there, right? They identified, okay, what is it that he wants? These are guys that match it. And I'm not saying everything's been perfect, because there are some picks. You know, they had a defensive tackle a few years ago. They traded DeForest Buckner, and they drafted the tackle, I forget his darn name, from South Carolina. I remember he wore number 8 at South Carolina. I just can't remember his name off the top. But they Javon Kinlaw, I want to say. Regardless, they drafted him, and it didn't work out to this point. But still, for the most part, their picks have worked out. And I think that's something he had a front row view of, seeing how that works, how you identify a player and match it up to what the coach wants. I'm not the only one that thinks that the marriage is going to work. I mean, you look at Jeff Fisher, who worked with Rand Carthon in St. Louis. Here's what he had to say about the marriage of Vrabel and Carthon.
Let me just say this. Let me go on the record, okay? I won a few games here, and I don't know what that is, but they say I'm the winningest coach in franchise history. That record is going to fall with this relationship between the two of them. Mm. That's how strongly I feel about Mike, the organization, where it's headed, and this hire.
One of the other things he said that I really loved, he was like, he said, listen, that Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson, their jobs just got a lot harder because of this union. I think that's a lot to be excited about. And then, I mean, you also look, right? Maurice Carthon is his dad. He was a pro player. So this kid, Rand Carthon, has been around professional football all of his life. You know, we're talking about a guy who played for the New Jersey Generals in 1983. I was 6 years old. 6 years old. And then, obviously, the Giants and, ironically, the Colts. He followed in his dad's footsteps, running the ball for the Colts. But then you look at just the coaching experience as well. I think you're getting a guy who comes in, has experience in all angles. So it's a lot to be excited for. But one of the first things that they have to do is find an offensive coordinator. I'm going to get into that with Chris Sanders a little bit later. But let's hear what Mike Vrabel said about the identity and just, you know, one of the things that some of the things that he's looking for in this offense.
The same thing that, you know, I've always wanted it to be. I want it to be smart and tough, fast, you know, physical. I still think that there's a degree of physicality that's required in this game at every level. You know, fundamentally sound, play with technique, you know, but, you know, we got to get faster. We have to be a faster football team. Rarely are we the fastest team out there.
Well, you heard it right there. The physicality remains something that Vrabel has always emphasized, but getting faster. And that goes back to what the fan, I got a DM the day that Vrabel had mentioned being faster. And he was like, hey, man, Mecole Hardman's going to be a free agent. That's something that they might want to look at. But there's a series of fast guys. You know, obviously, hey, Jalin Hyatt from, you know, Tennessee. You got to mention him. I mean, that guy, he's going to burn. So he's someone. So there's ways that you can add speed to this roster. I'm looking forward to how this continues to develop, but we're going to carry this conversation a little bit more forward with Chris Sanders of Run TMC next. We just got to pay these bills. We'll be right back. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
There it goes. Ooh. Uh-oh. The music fades. The lights dim. We're going to go to the West Coast. There it goes. And now, coming to you live from FedEx Forum Stadium Arena, starting at power forward for your Memphis Grizzlies, Zach Randolph.
And now, starring in the color purple, Danny Glover. You so hop on to beat me.
I was. He said, you're going to let that woman talk to you like that.
You going to let her ride in the clue? Yeah, man, that was, dude, that show was so fun. How you doing, boss? What's going on with you,
I'm
man?
Chilling. I was going to take you to the West Coast, man. We were going to go for one of the Sacramento Kings, but as I was going through that whole thing, Zach Randolph popped into my mind. So I said, yeah, we're going to have to get you with the local flavor.
I was going to hit you up with T.R. Dunn from the Nuggets.
Oh, that's just terrible.
That's old school, man.
That is.
Old school. Now, a lot of people ain't know who T.R. Dunn is.
Nope. Back there playing with Dan, what's the?
Issel.
Dan Issel. Yeah.
Alex English.
Alex English.
And what was the head coach's name? Was it Doug Moe?
Vandeweghe. Doug Moe, no, he was with Denver when they had they were scoring a lot of points, but it wasn't that team. It wasn't that team.
Kiki Vandeweghe?
No, Kiki was a player.
He's a player, I know.
Yeah.
Wow, that's old school, man.
But anyhow,
yes, sir.
Going from old school to new school, young 41-year-old GM was hired, the first black GM in the history of the Titans organization. Definitely, give them a shout out. I had a feeling it was going to be a hire. They were going to, you know, be diverse with this because they reached out to 6 external candidates.
Right.
5 of them were black candidates. So definitely, you know, salute the Titans.
Absolutely.
For working to be diverse. But
there's
more to Rand Carthon and the fact that he's a black man. He has an immense history, 15 years of scouting, former player. And I guess let's start with that aspect, the former player perspective. I know, you know, in talking to John Robinson, talking to Joe Douglas, talking to Ozzie Newsome, it was really cool just getting their perspective on how they evaluate and how they look at things and just the ability to put yourself in another player's shoes. And having been there and done that, it allows you to do that to a different degree. But what, in your opinion, gives the advantage? And I'm not saying all former players that are you know, evaluators are the best. I'm not saying that. Analytics guys and guys that didn't play, like, fall back, relax. Not saying that. But what, in your opinion, do you feel makes that an advantage?
Okay. First of all, I want to start off, he's qualified. Right. I mean, it's not that you're just giving him a job because he's African-American. It's, okay, it's a token deal. No, this guy played 3 years in the NFL. I mean, he's a pro scout, you know, with the Falcons from 2008 to 2011 and with the Rams from 2012 to 2016. And then also, he knows the business part of it. It's not that he's just a player and, you know, a scout. But also, he went to Wharton School of Business, so he knows the business side of it. So it's not just you just hiring a guy. Okay, well, it's a no, this guy's qualified. But really what makes him qualified is, you know, he played in the NFL for 3 years, so he understands, you know, what makes a player tick and what, you know, what to look for in a player because he's been around a lot of different personalities. And so he learned a person as a quarterback or a running back or an offensive line. So he has an idea of the identity he wants to bring to this team. So I think it's a great hire. I don't care if he was black, orange, or green, but I just think that the guy is qualified because he's a former player and also he's a businessman.
Yeah, well, that's the thing to look at. And, you know, when you're a GM, you know, you're a general manager, this is a business that you have to run, and that's what he's going to be doing. I like the fact that when you look at, you know, some of the roster construction with the 49ers, you know, he was heavily involved, obviously, in the draft itself, but in the later rounds, you look at some of the talent that he's brought in or that he was a part of bringing in, you know, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, you know, everybody is ready to call him the next Tom Brady. Well, you know, you have him. You have just an assortment of talent, right? You know, Dre Greenlaw, the linebacker, the all-pro linebacker, karate guy. Oh, man, how does his name slip my – Fred Warner. You have him. You know, there's a lot of talent that was brought in. So I think you have to look at that perspective. But you know, what do you think is his biggest obstacle, like the biggest hurdle he has to overcome here with the Titans?
I think it's just, you know, the quarterback situation. I mean, everybody wants to know what the quarterback situation is. Are they going to let Tannehill go and bring in somebody like Brady or Rodgers? But I think away from that, also, he's got to win the trust of his staff, but also the trust of the fans. You know, that's going to be the biggest thing because everybody knows the situation that went on with J-Rob. And in my opinion, and everybody may disagree, I thought J-Rob did a great job. He hit and missed on some things. But I think that with Carthon coming in, he's going to have to gain the trust of not just the organization in ownership, but the trust of the fans that believe that the identity that he brings to this team is going to work. So that's going to be the biggest hurdle. You know, there's going to be some bumps and some bruises because there's going to be a lot of things that, you know, that he's going to have to do. But here's the thing that I love about the whole situation, that when he was with the 49ers, he had a chance to sit and learn from one of the best. And who's one of the best? John Lynch.
Yeah, and
he had a chance to learn from him. So I think he's going to put together a great roster because when Lynch came in with the 49ers, he had to rebuild a team. So, you know, Carthon had a chance to watch him rebuild, so he's going to bring that same thing in.
Yeah, ground up type of situation there. When you look at that experience that you mentioned, so he watched John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan come together. The collaboration there, and that's something that I know he's spoken about in some of the research that I did in regards to him. What do you think makes him able to have that same type of relationship with Mike Vrabel?
Man, I think that it's kind of like this, and I know Derek Mason said this really, really good. He said this, that when you come into the building, the baggage that you have, you leave it outside. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad or baggage. You come in there and you learn from each and every player. I think with Mike Vrabel and Carthon, the one thing they'll have to do is have to put their agenda aside and say, okay, whatever decision we make, it benefits the team. If it's the quarterback, if it's, you know, signing Jeffrey Simmons or whatever that is, we got to come in unison. And it's kind of like this. Both of them have to be like, and I'm kind of giving this illustration, is they got to be like a shadow. That means whenever I move, you move. So they got to be in unison. I know they may have disagreements, but if they have disagreements, they got to have that behind closed doors. But at the end of the day, they got to have a marriage that benefits everybody, from the fans to the organization and to the players.
Yeah, that's really important to have that relationship.
Yeah.
You look at what Mike Vrabel said about the collaboration. You know, that's what he would expect it to be. Amy Adams Strunk said that, you know, that's what she wanted. I think this has the grounds for a really good relationship.
I agree.
Everyone that I've spoken to has been very endorsing of Rand Carthon. So I'm excited to see how this thing plays out. But how about just the ability, because we go back to what we said about the being qualified, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you like his degree of experience in both the scouting side as well as the pro personnel side?
I love it because when you're a pro personnel, that means you get to evaluate a lot of players. So he's seen some good ones. He's seen some bad ones. He's seen some hits. He's seen some misses. So now here's the good thing I love about it is he has experience.
Yeah.
That's huge. He's got experience. Even though he's young, what is he, 41?
41.
But he's had a lot of experience. Number one, the one experience he had is being a player. Then now being in pro personnel of evaluating players and looking at different players and look at their body type and look at what they bring to the team. Look, does this guy, you know, fit the identity of what he's building? So the one thing I love about this cat is even though he's young and even though he might not be old in stature, but this cat's got a lot of wisdom, and I think that that's what's going to help, Mike Vrabel and Amy Strunk.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he has that pro personnel, like director of a pro personnel part of it, because with that job, it does change from team to team, but one of the things that everyone that had the job that I've heard talk about it, they have to know what's on each and every roster so that when a guy gets cut, they got to know, okay, you know what? He's released. This is a guy. We had him back in 2016. We had him on at this point on our board. We always felt he was good because of this, and that's why we want to bring him in, at least for a work. Like, you always have to have that and to be ahead of the game. So I like that he has that experience, that ability to be proactive, right? Not reactive, proactive, so that when it's time to react, you already have the homework done. So I think that's really significant.
Ooh, did you see what you just said?
What's
that? That was so profound. As you said, he already had his homework done. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Why in the world would you use the last pick of the draft to get a quarterback? And look at what happened. When you took your time to do your homework to get Purdy from San Francisco, and now look at how it's benefited the team. Why? Because you did your homework.
Yeah. I mean,
that's huge.
They saw the match. And that's the other thing that's important about the GM. You have to be able to identify players that match the system that your coach is running. Speaking of which, offensive coordinator, that's still a job that has to be filled.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have Chris London, who was not interviewed, but he's a candidate. The Falcons quarterback coach. He's actually going to be coaching he's going to be the OC at the Senior Bowl, which is pretty interesting. He's a candidate. You look at, some of these other guys, Matt Nagy, Eric Bieniemy. What does the next offensive coordinator, what do they have to do in order to come here? Tim Kelly's in the mix as well.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. It goes back to what we kind of talked about, that, Mike Vrabel and Amy Strunk, Aiden Adams Strunk, got to figure out, okay, what's the identity of our team? Is it a run first pass, or is it pass or run second? So if you're going to pick your offensive coordinator, they got to figure that out first. What's the identity of our team? What's the purpose of our team? What do we want to do? So now if we have our focus and our vision of where we want to go, then that's how you start picking the offensive coordinators. I mean, Zach Robinson is out there from the Rams. You got Mike LaFleur from the Jets. You got Eric Bieniemy. That's kind of like what you said. Which one of those guys fits the identity and vision of what you want to do?
Well, that's the thing. So, let me correct myself. It's Charles London, not Chris
Charles
London. that's the Falcons quarterback coach.
Right.
But when you look at that whole dynamic, we know that Mike Vrabel wants to run the football. But he did mention the need for speed, right? He mentioned that in his locker room cleanup, quotation mark, press conference.
Right.
When you look at just the ideology, ironically, Rand Carthon is a former quarterback, a running back.
Right.
Rand Carthon came from a program in San Francisco that has a balanced offense, but make no mistake about it, they want to run that football.
Yeah.
So how do you think they're weighing that, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what you want to do, this is what we're going to do.
Right. But see, it all goes back to what players you have on the roster now.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you build from? I mean, it all goes back to if we're going to be a run first, then now we build around Derrick Henry. But say if you want to be, pass first, then now you got to get a quarterback. And I love Tannehill, but you got to get a quarterback that fits the scheme that you want to run. If you want to have the spread offense, you got to get a quarterback that can run the spread. But if you want to run the ball, you got to figure out, okay, do we want to build around Henry? Because it goes back to what I said before. what's the identity of the team? What, and whenever you find your identity of the team, then now we can get the offensive coordinator. Then we get the offensive coordinator. Now when it comes to the draft, we can draft according to our identity, you know? So it all falls in line. And if this head coach Mike Vrabel and the new GM, Carthon, they all walk in unison, then now they can walk in the vision and identity of what they want to build.
But what should they do? Because Derrick Henry, it's funny, I heard him on the podcast on Bussing with the right. Boys, and he's like, man, 29 years old, you know? And on top of that, there's 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
So how would you look at that? Like, would you weigh it out? Okay, we're still going to build around Henry and then pass it on to Haskins? Or are we going to get this thing on a different path immediately, knowing that it's short term?
I mean, that's kind of like the questions that need to be answered. I mean, it's kind of tough to answer that question because once those guys get in those rooms, they can kind of figure out which way they want to go. And then once they figure out a way they want to go, they can say, okay, you know what? I understand Henry's a great quarterback, but a good running back for this league, but he's not what we need to run this offense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
but that's what I mean. How would you do it?
Oh, how would I do it?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll run this thing back again. That's just my opinion. I'll run it back with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. And the reason why I would run it back with them is because those are the two most important guys that you need to build. Mm-hmm. If you have a great running back but don't have a quarterback, it's still not going to work. But if you have two guys that are pretty good in this league, you got Derrick Henry, who's one of the top five running backs in the league, and you got Tannehill, who had a solid year this year, then now you can build around him. I would run this thing back and build around those two cats.
Yeah, I think you could win with Tannehill.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, you look at this offensive line, right, because that's going to be what he's going to have to
absolutely
have to rebuild. And, I mean, they went out and they made a trade for Trent Williams and signed him to a long-term deal, the 49ers I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Mike McGlinchey, they got him in the night. I think it was a first round guy.
Right.
Those are two moves that turn that offensive line around immediately. Mm-hmm. That's what Rand Carthon has to do first and foremost. Yeah. Find a way to get this offensive line fixed, and that's something that, you know, again, he's been involved with before. So we'll see what happens with the 49ers. How that experience will transfer to the Titans. One last thing before we get you out of there.
Sure.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh,
where does that fall on his order of operations, meeting Rand Carthon?
I think that's up there. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's a game changer. And I'm not talking about just a game changer, just a complete impact player. When that Joker wants to take over the game, he definitely can. So I think that, you know, Carthon, he has to make sure that he's a priority to get Jeffrey Simmons signed. They can't go and say, well, you know, we got to do this and that. I don't think Jeffrey Simmons wants to hear that. He mm-hmm. wants to know, are you committed to me? If you're not committed to me, then I need to go on. But I can believe when you're talking about, we always say this quote all the time, defense wins championships. And I think if you get Jeffrey Simmons and add a couple of more pieces to that defense, it can be a top five defense like we saw last year.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there you have it right there. And I will say this. Extending Jeffrey Simmons sends a message to the rest of that locker room. Hey,
yes,
look,
it does.
I'm here. I'm going to take care of the guys that I know have taken care of this organization. So that's a good way for him to send a message. I look forward to seeing how this continues to play out.
And also, too, man, I got a message last week, man, from my son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got a text. He said, man, I'm looking at Jeopardy. He said there's two guys on here. He said one looks like Sam Cassell and one looks like Art Monk. And he said, don't you work with TD? I'm like, yeah, I work with that dude. He's like, man, he sure do look like us.
We're out on that. What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over three decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out the special odds boosts and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Roger McQuarrie, and I'm talking with TD. Yes, the rhythm, the rebel. Without a pause, I'm lowering my level.
All right, back from the break. Talking with TD. Man, I tell you what, I hate when I pick a real dope song to come back to because I don't want to start talking. I want to just let it play. But, I mean, we have a show to do, so we're going to keep this thing rolling. And I tell you what, it's always good to have connections, man, and be able to just, you know, jump in the book and reach out and grab somebody. And that's what we're going to do. Rand Carthon was the guy that the Titans hired to be their GM. So what better way to get some background on him than to discuss him with one of his former teammates at the University of Florida. Oh, and by the way, he's a former Tennessee Titans tight end. You know, Ben Troop, University of Florida, Titans tight end, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as well as the Oakland. In this case, we could call him the Oakland Raiders. Spent some time there as well. So, Ben, what's going on, man?
TD, man, I appreciate you reaching out to me last time, man. Look forward to being on with you.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we'll just start from the top. Like you played plenty of ball with Rand. What is Nashville getting with this hire?
They're getting somebody who's authentic. The thing about a guy like Rand is, no matter, most guys, it depends on the position they have in life. That would depend on how they are in those positions or how they are. Rand is the same no matter what, man. The only thing changed about Rand, when I first met him, man, he had hair. Now he just got the full beard. You know, he's sporting the bald head, but at the same time, he earned it. Like, I did not know that Rand Carthon's dad had the resume he had, from offensive coordinator to winning Super Bowls. He never talked about it. He's his own man. And I think when you think of what Vrabel is as a coach, I think you're going to get that same mentality from a GM.
Is that what makes you think that relationship could work? Because one of the things that he really harped upon, just in looking at some of the things, the research that I did, he really harped upon how much he observed the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch relationship just function and flourish. What makes you think that the Vrabel and Carthon relationship can flourish in a similar way?
Because I don't think Rand going to be afraid to challenge Vrabel. Mm. And I mean challenge from a professional level. I think sometimes when you've always been a scout, you've been in the front office, you've done player personnel and pro personnel and director of scouting, and now, you know, I'm in charge of putting together this team. I believe that Rand can say, listen, if you want to know about me, man, ask Jeff Fisher, who hired me, you know, when I was a scout. Ask Kyle Shanahan and those guys that hired me. I can't be afraid to make decisions, and you're not going to like every decision I make, but I know what you guys are lacking. I've been a scout with Todd Gurley. I was there in seven season when they traded for Christian McCaffrey, so I've seen what it is to have a big time back like a Derrick Henry, but I also know to put the pieces around guys. I mean, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, just won a playoff game. Mm. I'm one of the guys that said, y'all need to go look at this dude. So I think he knows talent, and I think Vrabel, I don't think Vrabel wants a yes man. He's not going to get a yes man from a guy like Rand, but I think it'll be a good match. I think sometimes we think that GMs and head coaches got to be buddy-buddy. It's got to be rooted in respect, and I think that's what it's going to be rooted in, and I think it's going to be a nice match.
Yeah, and that's how relationships flourish, right? When we both are able to share opinions, if we have a differ of opinion, okay, we agree to disagree, but one thing you're going to do is respect my opinion. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And we're talking to Ben Troop, contributor and co-host of Pigskin Radio. You could check him out, ladies and gentlemen. Ben, Troupe, 84.com, former Florida Gators product and Tennessee Titans tight end. Ben, let's keep it rolling in regards to Rand. What do you think is his best quality as a talent evaluator?
He's been at every level as far as like working his way up. He's been in those rooms that the scouts have to be in. He's been in the front office. He's done it all. And like you mentioned when we first came on, TD, he has connections. Now, when he goes to the Shrine Bowl, when he goes to the Senior Bowl, when he goes to the Combine, guys are just seeing him in a different jersey, in different colors. But now he's a GM. He's been there as a scout. He's been there as a player, personnel guy, and he's seen it all. Only thing changes now is, hey, man, now I'm the one making the picks. I'm not making suggestions on who we should pick. I'm going to actually make the picks. And I think that, once again, the thing about a guy like Rand is what you see is what you get. I mean, he's an easygoing dude, but you know he about his business. When I saw that he became the GM, I knew You know, the Adams, organization, I mean, the Adams family, they want to try to go in a different direction. And the greatest thing he has, he resonates with the players. I have Floyd Reese. Man, I appreciate him giving, you know, me an opportunity to come there in 2004. But Floyd treated me like a person who just happened to be a player. I think Rand's going to do the same thing. Now, he ain't going to let you, he's going to let you know what the expectation is, but GM position is changing, man. No longer do you seen but not heard. No, I need to know who you are. You need to be able to resonate with these players. And it's something about walking on the field, and I know what's playing on the radio, and I don't got to wonder who that is. My playlist sounds just like theirs. Those type of things really, really matter because you know how it is, TD. You got to be able to have an outlet now. You know, this game of football is stressful. And I think a guy like Rand, because he's seen it all, done it all, and been through it, hey, man, he could be able to be a straight shooter with these players while also giving them an opportunity to play for, you know, playing Nashville.
Yeah, and I want to dig a little bit deeper on that. You haven't been in that situation. When you have a guy that could relate to you, when you have a guy that could walk in your shoes, like as a player, how much more valuable is that? You know, having someone who's been there, done that type of a figure running an organization.
I think the best example to me, even though he never played in the NFL, is Mike Tomlin. There's a reason why he's never had a losing season, because he can resonate with the players, and that kind of stuff matters. I mean, I saw when Mike Tomlin was talking about Ryan Clark and Ryan Clark wanting to go play up there in Mile High. He said, man, you got sickle cell. He said, in that moment, I had to care about that young man, because if it was up to him, he's going to go up there and put his life on the line. He said, nope, I'm not even going to let you get on the plane. I think Rand has that because he sees a little bit of himself in every one of those players. I mean, everybody, that's why he's gonna go try to find a player that reminds him of him. He's going to try to go find a player that reminds him of the type of player he wished he would have become. All of us have that. But to be able to resonate, that's something that you can't put on a resume. And make no mistake about it, these teams understand that I want to have the best team. The best way to have the best team was to have a person who makes the decision, who looks like them, sounds like them, and at one point was them. So that just gives the Titans an edge up, especially when it's AFC South becoming more younger. You want to be able to put a fresh face, at the forefront. I think Rand, I think he meets all those distinctions.
Have you ever had a conversation with him, you know, in regards to a player like, hey, man, you know, there's this guy at Florida now. I really like him. What do you think about him?
I haven't, but I can say when I was when I got let go by Tampa, we had just played Atlanta, second game of the season in 2008. Mark Dominic, who was a scout, who ended up becoming the GM, actually told me that Atlanta reached out, and I did not know that Rand was a scout. So when I get out there trying out, Rand saw me running around, and what Rand did, he told me the truth. He said, "True, we're not going to pick you up because it's Thursday. We think you're better than every tight end we got on our roster, and I wish you the best." Only he could have told me that. Because he don't got to lie to me. I'm not saying the other coaches were going to lie to me, but he could be a straight shooter.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I can appreciate. I can appreciate truth and honesty. And Rand gives feedback. Criticism comes from outside the building. Feedback comes from within. I think he can give good feedback, and I think he can deal with the feedback that's going to come to him. I think the man is built for the job, man. It's going to be good to see him in that two-tone blue.
If you could go back to your days at Florida, you know, when I mentioned Rand Carthon, what's the first story that comes to mind?
The first story that comes to mind is my freshman year, right before our freshman pitchers. They, you know, the upperclassmen come and mess our head up to where we just got to cut our hair bald. Now, most of us have never had a bald head, you know, unless, you know, all the time we had was when we first came out the wound. And I remember the next day being in the weight room. And once Rand spotted me, I don't remember Rand lifting no weights that day. I remember him talking about my head the whole hour. But what Rand don't know is I had a complex when it came to the size of my head. I really grew up, couldn't stand it. In that one situation, because he made me laugh with him, it never was a problem for me ever again. He don't know he did that. Because everywhere I went, I'm like, bro, don't you got your own lifting group? Everywhere I was in the weight room, he was in there. But because he made me laugh, and I realized that's just how Rand was. He always kept it light. He's a utility player. Whatever you need him for, he provided. But yeah, man, him making me laugh for a full hour, that, you know, because my hair was looking like Charles Barkley, man. It was shiny, it was round, and he just made me laugh, man. So I appreciate him for that.
And last thing, how much do you think he's ready for this job? You look at the experience he's had. How ready for this job do you think he is?
I don't know if you could be more ready, because he's done it all. He's seen it all from a player from a, you know, from a in the front office, from a scout, player personnel, pro personnel. He's watched and learned from Kyle Shanahan. He's watched and learned from Jeff Fisher. I mean, different organizations, different cities, from St. Louis to L.A. to San Francisco, played in the AFC South. I think he's built for this. And no matter, obviously I'm rooting for him and wishing the best for him. I'm biased when it comes to the Titans and him as well, but I think he's earned it. And he's going to inspire the next generation of GMs, because I don't even know what it takes to be a GM. Marcus Robinson, who was the player personnel guy when I was there with the Titans, he told me that one day he wanted to be a GM, and it went over my head. I'm like, dude, you can't be no GM, because I didn't even know how to become a GM. So I think that Rand, you know, just like a Terry Fontenot, those guys inspire the next generation to say, hey, man, you don't have to have a career on the field. You can have a career off the field in these same organizations making bigger impacts, because your livelihood ain't predicated on your athletic performance.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I was going to sneak another question in there, but you answered it without me having to ask it. I was going to ask you, you know, as a black man, we're both black men here, and to see Rand Carthon get this job, like, there's a degree, I'm not going to hold you, there's a degree of pride, you know, and excitement that I had just because of that, right? To see another black man be in this position like this. And I was going to ask you about that, but you said it. And it's remarkable the way this is going to really inspire next generations, as you mentioned. So I'm glad you pointed to that. And, man, I appreciate you coming on. If you could say one thing to Rand right now, what would you say, though?
I would just tell Rand, man, just keep being you, man. Never ever change who you are. Who you are authentically got you to where you are professionally. I think a lot of times we think that I got to be something else to do this. No, being who I am is enough. And listen, and if being who you are ain't enough, you don't deserve them. They don't deserve you. I think the Adams, you know, Ms. Adams, she's done an incredible job of picking this guy. Arendrick, keep doing what you're doing, because.
There you have it right there. Former Florida Gator tight end, Tennessee Titans tight end as well. Contributor and co-host of Pigskin Radio. You can check him out at bentroop84.com. That's BENTROUPE84.com. Ben, I appreciate you. We'll definitely keep in touch.
TD, appreciate you, sir.
For sure. So that was Ben Troop right there. Former Titans tight end, University of Florida product, who went to school and played football alongside Rand Carthon. So it's always good to get an interesting perspective from a guy who was a teammate. You know, that's one way you could get to know somebody is as one of their teammates. So definitely appreciate Ben True for coming on. Appreciate Chris Sanders for making this thing happen as well. You know, Run TMC, we always get into it, man. You know what it is. Even though he looks like Seal, we'll still let him ride. And David James over there making this thing happen.
Yes, sir. Always fun, man.
Yeah, man. This is an exciting moment for the Titans. It could be a moment where you look back and you say, hey, that was not a tide changing, but that was a bolster to the organization. So that, you know, we'll see what happens there. I'm excited, though. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. It's always good, you know, when you have somebody that you're covering that is regarded so highly, and everyone I've spoken to, that, you know, they were very, very ringing endorsement like for Rand Carthon. So we definitely look forward to that. And hey, you know, above all else, we appreciate each of you for tuning in. You definitely continue to search us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Talking with TD, that's how you search it. Rate, review, we appreciate you.